Chapter 10, My First Supper. This examination over, we heard someone yell, "Go out into the hall!" One of the patients kindly explained that this was an invitation to supper. We latecomers tried to keep together, so we entered the hall and stood at the door where all the women had crowded. How we shivered as we stood there! The windows were open and the draft went whizzing through the hall. The patients looked blue with cold, and the minutes stretched into a quarter of an hour. At last, one of the nurses went forward and unlocked a door, through which we all crowded to a landing of the stairway. Here again came a long halt directly before an open window. How very imprudent for the attendants to keep these thinly clad women standing here in the cold, said Miss Neville. I looked at the poor, crazy captives shivering and added, emphatically, it's horribly brutal. While they stood there, I thought I would not relish supper that night. They looked so lost and hopeless. Some were chattering nonsense to invisible persons. Others were laughing or crying aimlessly, and one old, gray-haired woman was nudging me, and with winks and sage noddings of the head and pitiful uplifting of the eyes and hands, was assuring me that I must not mind the poor creatures, as they were all mad. "Stop at the heater," was then ordered, "and get in line two by two. Mary, get a companion. How many times must I tell you to keep in line? Stand still." And as the orders were issued, a shove and a push were administered, and often a slap on the ears. After this third and final halt, we were marched into a long, narrow dining room where a rush was made for the table. The table reached the length of the room and was uncovered and uninviting. Long benches without backs were put for the patients to sit on, and over these they had to crawl in order to face the table. Placed close together all along the table were large dressing bowls filled with a pinkish-looking stuff which the patients called tea. By each bowl was laid a piece of bread, cut thick and buttered. A small saucer containing 5 prunes accompanied the bread. One fat woman made a rush, and jerking up several saucers from those around her, emptied their contents into her own saucer. Then, while holding to her own bowl, she lifted up another and drained its contents in one gulp. This she did in shorter a time than it takes to tell it. Indeed, I was so amused at her successful grabbings that when I looked at my own share, the woman opposite, without so much as a "by your leave," grabbed my bread and left me without any. Another patient, seeing this, kindly offered me hers, but I declined with thanks and turned to the nurse and asked for more. As she flung a thick piece down on the table, she made some remark about the fact that if I forgot where my home was, I had not forgotten how to eat. I tried the bread, but the butter was so horrible that one could not eat it. A blue-eyed German girl on the opposite side of the table told me I could have bread unbuttered if I wished, and that very few were able to eat the butter. I turned my attention to the prunes and found that very few of them would be sufficient. A patient near asked me to give them to her, and I did so. My bowl of tea was all that was left. I tasted, and one taste was enough. It had no sugar, and it tasted as if it had been made in copper. It was as weak as water. This was also transferred to a hungrier patient, in spite of the protest of Miss Neville. "You must force the food down," she said, "else you will be sick. And who knows but what, with these surroundings, you may go crazy. To have a good brain, the stomach must be cared for." "It is impossible for me to eat that stuff," I replied, and despite all her urging, I ate nothing that night. It did not require much time for the patients to consume all that was eatable on the table, and then we got our orders to form in line in the hall. When this was done, the doors before us were unlocked, and we were ordered to proceed back to the sitting room. Many of the patients crowded near us, and I was again urged to play, both by them and the nurses. To please the patients, I promised to play, and Miss Tilly Maynard was to sing. The first thing she asked me to play was Rockabye Baby, and I did so. She sang it beautifully.